to next year, but God isn't finished with today. You know, this is the day that the Lord has made. He doesn't want us to look to tomorrow. He wants us to finish today. Amen? And God has a plan for every heart and every life today that's gathered here today. So first off, I'm going to just build a foundation for the direction I'm going this morning. So if you have your Bibles with me, would you open your Bibles to James chapter 5? James chapter 5. Verse number 16. James, the brother of Jesus, says this. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He did not say, confess your sickness one to another. He said, confess your faults. And in the Greek language, a fault would be a sin, an offense, or trespass. In other words, so many times as the body of Christ, we deal with the ripple instead of the rock in the water. The sin is the cause, and the sickness is the effect. In other words, the Lord wants to do something in our hearts and lives. You know, matter of fact, even in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, when he was teaching on taking of the Lord's body, he said in verse 28, he said, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, and he's not talking about Jesus is the worthiness. None of us were worthy. We're saved by grace, amen? But what we're doing is we're acknowledging the finished work of Calvary. Amen. When Jesus said it was finished, it was done. And what he's desiring for his children to do is to enter into what he's already completed. So many times we hear this saying, well, I'm waiting on God. And the truth of the matter is, he's waiting on us. Hello? He's waiting on each and every one of us. So with this in mind this morning, our text this morning is found in Luke chapter 4. It's a familiar text for many. She is absolutely fine. Amen. A child's play never chased off the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, a child's play would probably invoke him to come back more. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse number 18. Jesus is standing up and speaking. He said this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Amen. Just recognize that it was just in their ears. Today it's in our hearts because of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And what the Lord was speaking to my heart about is he wants you to get a hold of something today. God won't fix anything that's not broken. You know the old saying, if it's not broken, why fix it? So today I want to speak to you a little bit about three things that I want to share out of this text today. He said his word to preach, to heal, and to free. Amen? To preach, to heal, and to free. Are you with me? Is everybody ready? Let's lift our word and make a declaration today. Can we lift it together? Repeat after me. Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything that God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, for your word. And we're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to do in this house today. So, Father, I pray that Carl gets out of the way. Spirit of God, speak through this vessel today, Father God. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory, you'll receive all the honor, and you will receive all the praise because we gathered in your name. And we'll never cease to give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Jesus said, he said he'd come to preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. He was anointed to preach the gospel. That word preach comes from the Greek word kerusso, and it means to carry or to announce some good news. Amen. Jesus is standing up and getting ready to pronounce some good news. Amen. So look with me in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, it kind of speaks of the days that we're in right now. Nations rising against nation. You know, there's all kinds of pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Amen. And Jesus in verse number 14, he says this. He says, in this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. And in other words, the end isn't coming before the gospel is spread, okay? You know, and he says he's going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. You know, in the Word of God, in Romans, the Word of God says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but it's in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have the peace of God that surmounts every bit of understanding that guards our hearts and our lives through Christ Jesus. And we have joy of the Holy Ghost. Why do I have the joy of the Holy Ghost? Because my name's written in glory. Hallelujah. Because the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Hallelujah. Amen. As a church, we can be happy. Is there anything wrong with being happy? You know, when I was in the world, before Christ, I used to always go to a happy hour to try to get happy. And I never really left happy. Because I wasn't searching for the true happiness. I wasn't searching for the true joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when I have the joy of the Lord, no matter what the adversary brings my way, no matter what he does, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Amen? I never let the things of this world steal my joy. Hello? How do I do that? Look with me in Luke chapter 24. Bless her, Lord. Bless him too. Bless him also. This message is being recorded for the website, and it comes with sound effects. That just shows that it's real. Amen? God's real. We ought to be real too, right? Amen? God doesn't want us to put on this fake persona and be something that we're not. We be ourselves with Christ Jesus in and through us. Amen? You know, God created you uniquely to be you. Hallelujah. And the way that you can be you at the best is to let God show himself through you and then the best of you shows. I thought she was mine. But in Luke chapter 24, verse 46, the word of God said, and he said unto them, it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high. You know, in Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. So we find that this has already taken place. It's the one in us. And God wants us to preach this good news to this lost and dying world in which we're living in. And if we're and when we're sharing the gospel, one thing about sharing Jesus, you never know when the next person you lead to Jesus might be the last one. You know, you don't know. When all of a sudden you might be leading somebody to Jesus, and all of a sudden the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall raise, you'll be caught up in the air, and they'll be caught up in the air with you because they gave their heart to Jesus. Amen? Amen? One thing about that, Jesus, he said, hey, you know, he is God that became flesh, but he cared so much for us, he preached the gospel to the poor. In other words, he preached the gospel to the poor because they were poor and lost and didn't have any hope, but now they're rich in the riches of Christ and the riches of the kingdom of God. Amen. And it doesn't always about wealth. Amen. You know, sometimes our wealth can be a handicap. Amen. I'd rather be rich and go to, I'd rather be poor and go to heaven than rich and go to hell. And we find the illustration of that when Jesus gave the illustration of the rich man and Lazarus. Amen? You know, Lazarus was caught up into the bosom. Amen? But even out of John the Revelator in Revelation chapter 14, he had a heavenly vision. He was caught up into the heavenlies. And this is the voice from heaven. And Revelation 14, verse 6, he says, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountains of waters. See, in other words, God is saying, if they're worshiping him in heaven, he wants us to worship him on earth as well as in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, he says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. The faults. You know, he said that he came to preach the gospel to the poor, but secondly, he came to heal the brokenhearted. In other words, it has to be broken to be fixed. In other words, we have to recognize what we need and where we are for him to heal it. Amen? Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 3. Verse number 22. The prophet Jeremiah said this. He said, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of the mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame have devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, and their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion cover us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, and we and our fathers, and from our youth even unto this day have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. You know, he says to him, he says, if you recognize where you are, all you have to do is repent. You know, when we repent, when we ask forgiveness, he says he removes it. If I don't ask forgiveness and I don't repent, it stays there. Hello? Listen to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We'll take this, that was the prophet Jeremiah, but we'll go to the words of Jesus himself and see what Jesus says about this. He's here to heal the brokenhearted. He's here to heal the broken, to set at liberty captives, to open prison doors, to give sight, and this is spiritual sight when you've been blinded by the things of this world. But in Mark chapter 2, verse number 17, the word of God says this. He said, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen? In other words, we're looking at our faults. So the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Speaks about Elijah. He was a man. Even though he was a prophet, he was still a man. And he prayed for it not to rain. It didn't rain for 3.5 years on the whole earth. Hello? Come on. That shows you how God is listening. How God is hearing the prayers of the righteous. Amen? But he wants us to realize, you know, where we're broken. I don't know about you, but I got some things that I need to be fixed in my life. Hello? And I'm grateful that I serve the master fixer. Amen? That's not probably a word, but he's the master fixer. He fixes my mess. He fixes our mess. Hallelujah. The prophet Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 17. Verse number 14. He says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. God wants to heal the brokenhearted. Let me tell you something. Just because you mess up, you're not losing your... God's not taking back something he gave you, okay? Amen. He's not here just because you messed up, you tripped up. He's not saying, oh, you're not worthy any longer, because it never was about you. It never was about me. It was about him. It's his righteousness, not my righteousness. The Bible says my righteousness was like filthy rags. But inside of me, inside of you, as a child of God, because you have the Holy Spirit, you have the righteousness of Christ Jesus in you. Hello? So not only does he come to preach this word comes forth to heal, but it also comes forth to free, to set at liberty the captives, to open a prison door. Whatever you're enslaved with or whatever you're bound with, the Son of God has come to set you free. And Jesus said, Jesus said in John chapter 8, turn me to John chapter 8. John 8, verse 31. And these are the words of Jesus. He said this. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Remember what got us caught in bondage and sickness was sin and error. Okay? What delivers us and sets us free is the truth. Error or sin, trespass, offense, whatever, is the doorway. Amen? The truth is what kicks it out. Amen? I don't know about you, but I believe that as we close this year, and instead of start waiting to New Year's to make a resolution to the Lord, leave something behind at the altar. Repent, let it go, let him deliver you so you can step in 2018 stronger than you were in 2017. Amen? Because we can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens us. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I need more. We sang that song, but how many really in their hearts read it, I need you more. I need him more today than I did yesterday. I need him more than the words can say. I need him more than the air I breathe. Amen? I need him more because I need more of him and less of me. Amen. Hello? I want to see more of him and less of me. And I want everybody to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, because I want to teach something here for a moment. What the Lord laid on my heart. So turn me to Romans chapter 8. When everybody's there, say amen. Romans 8, there. Verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Recognize that one thing is yourself. We're not talking about losing your salvation here. Okay? Amen? The only way you lose your salvation is reject Christ. If you continue in sin, you're going to get an account for that. Amen? It says some are saved like pull them out of the fire. They almost smell like they're burned. But I want you to get a hold of something today. There's the realm. The realm that we can be successful in Christ Jesus. The realm in which the adversary will not win against us. He said, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's two realms. There's the flesh realm, pinch yourself. And then there's the spiritual realm. In other words, Christ is in you and the Spirit of God is in you. If you're a child of God, Christ is in you and I. Okay? But we're still dealing with this flesh. Okay? So it's whatever, whichever one we're following is the one that's going to win the battle. Right? He says this in verse number 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Okay? The one that's in us is pure. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do what? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they are the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But we are not in the flesh. In other words, we've got to allow the Spirit within us to lead us and guide us and to help us to overcome. But in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But the spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, there's a choice. The Lord says this. He says, I gave you an earnest deposit of the Holy Spirit, but you're still battling in this world and you still have the flesh. If you will walk in the Spirit and let me guide you and lead you, I'll lead you into all truth and will defeat the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In other words, our mindset. In other words, we have the mind of Christ. In other words, I've got to think according to the Word of God. Amen. What I think on becomes. What I speak takes place and comes. So, in other words, we have to recognize who we are. We have to recognize how much power that we have within us because God Himself is residing within you and I. We're not gods. We're in the flesh. And we're still battling the flesh. But we can overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, by the words that we speak. And in other words, God wants us to understand that we're in a battle. That we're in a battle and it's a fight. That's why the Apostle Paul would say, fight the good fight of faith. Lay a hold of eternal life. Where also you are called and profess a good testimony before many witnesses. In other words, it's what we're allowed to control us. I want you to get a hold of something here for a second. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse number 17. Hallelujah. Can I tell you a little story? Most of you already heard, but I want to tell it anyway. My dad was a preacher as a kid. I had attention deficit. I couldn't sit still. Amen. I was all over the place. I'd be underneath this chair and over this chair and over this chair. And my dad would always finally catch me. And he would place me and down in the pulpit, they had chairs behind the pulpit, and he would place me in them chairs. And then I was just making faces at the people and stuff, and everybody would be laughing and carrying on. And Dad thought it was his jokes, but and one of the things I learned about that is we train up our child and we raise our children up in the house of God. We want to love them, but sometimes it's difficult to sit still. Amen. Amen. And so we all have that. Some of us will shake our feet and some of us will move our arms. And, you know, some of us have some of them and some don't. But God loves everyone. Amen. You know, I love children. I love the kids. You know, it's just they're so unique and they're all so special. Look at how beautiful she is. Yeah, you. She is. Hallelujah. But here's what I want to say. I better get back to where we're going. I don't know why I even did that. Why did I do that? I have no idea. Somebody had to hear it. Amen? Because people sometimes get embarrassed because of their children. Because their children act up. Don't get embarrassed about your children. Hello? Don't get embarrassed about your children. Amen. God loves them. God has a plan in their hearts and lives. God's got a plan in every heart and life. You cannot go up there, though. You can get in trouble up there. Can I hold your baby? Oh, she's pretty. Thank you. Can I get a smile? Aww. Wow. In 2 Corinthians, I want you to get a hold of this right now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, then we'll close. Everybody say it, praise God. The Bible says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, recognize that the one that's in you is God. He doesn't have to change. In other words, he's not about talking about revealing his glory, because he is already glorified. But he is saying that you and I, as we follow the Spirit of God, are transformed into his image. He takes us from glory to glory. Not to bring glory to ourselves, but to bring him glory. I don't know about you, but when you see someone's life, when I've witnessed people that were bound and in prison, and God delivers them and sets them free and transforms their life, and they become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, everything has become new. Then other people don't even recognize them anymore, because that old man or that old woman died, and they allowed Christ, the living Christ, to arise in them and to be manifested in their lives. So in closing today, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 1, the Word of God says this. He says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee or kept thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, the Lord said he called us to preach the good news of the gospel, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He sent us here to heal the brokenhearted and to set at liberty the captives, the free. Amen? So God's word, he desires for his word to be fulfilled in each and every one of our lives today. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're grateful that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it here to do. Maybe you're here today and